That's better? Good, thank you. I'm gonna introduce the soul to you in a different way tonight. I stated earlier in this class that, I stated earlier in this class that sometimes because we don't know how something works, somebody who knows how to work it better can come and trick us with what we have. So a lot of times Satan comes and messes with us because we have been so concerned with our spirits that we haven't really focused on our minds. Now, spirit is king. Your mind is the servant. Body is the slave. So that means that the servant has to get instructions from the king, your spirit. So that means the mind plays an important role in you walking in the spirit. If you don't have a renewed mind, then it's going to be very hard for you to walk in the spirit. An unrenewed mind will automatically walk after the flesh. That's Romans 8. So we have to begin to understand how the mind works, how it functions, put it in its place. So it won't be self-help that teaches you how to operate the mind. It won't be reading all the self-help books and all this kind of good stuff. There are some out there that are good. Two books that my dad recommended for me to read that utterly changed my life was Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer and I'm Okay, You're Okay by Dr. Harris. Those two books, they're called self-help books, but they changed my life because Pulling Your Own Strings teaches you how not to be a victim. You know, people like to victimize you. Right. People like to make themselves superior to you. That book teaches you how not to allow that to happen. The other book, I'm Okay, You're Okay, it teaches you that no matter who you are, where you are, or what you're doing, what's your profession or anything, that is okay. That's who you are. Therefore, transactional analysis. And I'm just going over these as a little side journey because they helped me out. It's good. Need to teach your kids this. Four transactional analysis. The four transactional analysis are, I'm not okay, you not okay. That's not good. Because you don't think, you don't have confidence in yourself, and you don't think highly of the next person to you. The next transactional analysis is, I'm okay, you okay. That's not good. Because you don't think you good enough, you don't think you're okay, but you put the other person superior to you. The next transactional analysis is, I'm okay, you not okay. That's you making yourself superior to somebody else. That's not good. The best transactional analysis position to be in is, I'm okay and you okay. So when we face each other, we're gonna face each other knowing, listen to that internet, that I'm okay and you okay. Now, whether you like to believe it or not, that is very important as a Christian. Because some people like to downplay your Christian walk. And so you have to understand how not to let them victimize you in your Christian walk. You have to, even in the spirit, in the supernatural, you have to learn not to let Satan victimize you and tell you who you're not going to be, what you're not going to do, what you're not going to accomplish. And Satan uses, listen to me now, Satan will use your own voice to defeat you. And so this is why we have to understand how the mind works. How can I break this down? Where is Satan tripping me up at? Where are some roadblocks? What are some past experiences that's causing me not to be who God has called me to be? And so we're going to take the majority of this semester and a lot of part of next semester, and we're going to deal with the mind and break the mind down bit by bit. Because Satan has five entryways into your mind. Five entryways. Watch this. He has five entryways into your mind. He can enter into your mind through your emotions. He can enter into your mind through your intellect and reasoning. He can enter into your mind through your memory. He can enter into your mind through your imagination. And he can enter into your mind through your will. Those five areas, Satan has access to your mind. Now, Satan does not have access to your spirit. He cannot access your spirit. The only entity or the only person that can access your spirit is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That's it. Nobody else can have access to your spirit. So now you understand why Satan always plays with your mind. Satan can't, he doesn't have the right to go to your spirit. He doesn't have the authority to deal with your king. He only has access to your mind and to your body. Are you seeing this? So what we have to do is we're going to begin to understand the five aspects. Listen to me, internet. We're going to begin to list the five aspects of the mind, five parts of the mind, and begin to break each one down so that we can see where Satan tries to trip us up at. Mm-hmm. So that we can be one that is solid, steadfast, unmovable. Are you seeing me? So that we can do what God has told us to do and do it with confidence. So there's these five aspects. Everybody got the five aspects. This is going to be very important. You're going to hear this over and over again. The soul is the only portal that Satan has into your world. Second Corinthians, the fourth chapter. The third verse. 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, the third verse. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So Satan's whole game is to blind our minds. Now, I'm finna help your faith real good right here. Anytime you hear a statement through your thoughts, because you know how many know y'all hear stuff all day long? Let's get that straight. You know you hear stuff all day long, right?
Yes, sir.
You know that, right? You know that you're constantly hearing stuff all day long. Thoughts constantly going through your mind all day long.
Right?
Anytime you hear a statement that doesn't agree with who God says you are, what God says you can do, you can immediately begin to shout. Why? Because Satan is a liar. He can't tell the truth. So if he's telling me what's not going to happen, that means that's what's supposed to happen. So if Satan tells me, you're never going to be rich, you can start shouting right there because he just lied. He just told you a lie. So that means if he's telling you a lie, that means rich is not far in your future. Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, that's how, Satan can't. That's all he can do. He's the father of lies. He's a deceiver. He's a one trick pony. The same thing he did to Adam and Eve, and the same thing he's trying to do to us. He lied to Adam and Eve. All he's trying to do is lie to us. And the problem is, we buy into the lies. And guess what? Satan has no power. None. He has no power. None. But why does it seem like he gets the best of some people? Because he goes to them, lies to them, take their power from them and use it on them. How does he do this? You are, all right, you made an image of God, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, sir.
We're the children of God. So that means we're made in his image. That means as he is, so are we, right, in this world. Right. So the same abilities God has, we are an offshoot or a branch of him in this world. So we have a source of power. Are you following me? We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right. So what Satan does, Satan comes and tells us something that's not truth. Guess who make it truth? We do. How we make it truth? Because we believe it. And what happens when we believe something? It becomes created. Think about that. Because now all what happened, Satan took our power and used it against us and caused us to create something that we didn't really want to create. He has no power. There's nothing original about Satan. There's nothing original about him. He copies everything. You can't find me one original thing about Satan. Nothing. He's not an original God. He wants to be. He doesn't do anything original. God created music, what he did. God created sex, what he come and do. He is nothing original about Satan. So Satan, all Satan power derives from what we give him. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How did Satan get the power from Adam and Eve when he got them to believe what he said? So the mind is the battlefield for Satan. And if you don't have your mind renewed, if you don't understand how your soul works, Satan sneaks up on you and you don't know where he came from. Are you seeing this? See, for instance, Christians can't be possessed. You're already possessed. How you already possessed? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. But Christians can't be oppressed. What oppression takes place? In the mind. Are you seeing this? So we're going to begin to break this mind down and this soul down so that we can put the sword of the Spirit at every entryway. We can put the word of God at every entryway. So whenever Satan shows up, whatever way he's coming from, we can recognize him and deal with him at the point of entry.
Amen.
So therefore, he can't get no foothold nowhere in our mind. Luke 21:19. One of the key characteristics that you're going to have as a Christian is patience. It's patience. Now, patience, listen to me, internet, listen to me very good. Patience is not necessarily the same thing as waiting. It's not necessarily the same thing as waiting. There's a difference. Let's read the scripture first. Luke 21, 19. The reason why you're going to have this as one of the characteristics is because you see what Jesus said. He says, in your what? Patience, possess ye your souls. So in your having patience, it was causes you to be able to check every gate of your mind and say, hey, here's what we do know. We do know that whatever thought, whatever phrase, whatever image that comes in our mind that doesn't line up with the word of God, first of all, you got to have something to check it to. That's why you have to renew your mind with the word of God so that you can check any thought, any image, any feeling that comes into your soul. You have to have something to check it against, the word of God. So watch this. In your patience, you're able to check it against the word of God and you're able to stop it where it is. Patience is not the same thing as waiting. There's a difference. It has, and I'm about to make patience apostolic for you. I'm about to make it where it's not about you. Patience is not about you. When you're waiting on something, you're stationary, not focused on nothing else, not doing nothing else, waiting for, or you're looking for that moment to come. That's waiting. Patient is, I'm going on about my daily routine, following God, knowing that what I'm looking for is on the way. So the focus is not me standing still, waiting for the event to come to me, but it's me moving in the direction God is pushing me, going get that event. Did that make sense? Go to Hebrews 10. Go to Hebrews 10. Watch this. I can prove it better by going to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 36. It says, for ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have need of what? Patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now it says, but then it says in Luke 21:19, in your patience, possess your soul. What is that saying? There is a confidence. Matter of fact, look at verse 35. What it says.
Cast not away therefore your confidence,
mm-hmm.
which has great recompense
of reward. Right?
Yes, sir.
Great recompense. Cast away not your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. So now it says, ye have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. And here in Luke 21:19, it says, in your patience, possess your soul. Other words, in patience, I'm waiting. But I'm not waiting standing still. I'm not waiting as somebody who can't do nothing else. I am patient and I'm moving on because I know when I dealt with this subject with God, that whatever results that God has planned for me is on my way, is on his way, headed in my direction. But I'm not going to stand still waiting on it. I'm going to follow God and go in this direction. In doing that, you're going to have to protect your mind because that's when Satan comes to attack. Example. Don't have time to go to it. But when Jesus was driven into the wilderness on purpose by the Holy Spirit, he spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. When he come out of the wilderness, he was hungry, tired. That's when Satan came to him to tempt him. And Satan came at that particular moment to tempt him in his moment of weakness physically so that he can try to get Jesus off course. But Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, understood his purpose. So watch this. In his patience, he was able to possess his soul and was able to answer Satan and deal with him so Satan couldn't come in none of those gates. Satan could attack his will, couldn't attack his reasoning, couldn't attack his emotions, couldn't attack any of those things. Because, watch this, he was patient. Other words, he didn't make no rash moves. He didn't make no quick moves. Satan had offered him some stuff. Satan said, if you only bow down and worship me. He said, you jump off, you took him to the hobbit, jump off. I know the angel's gonna save you. He said, you hungry? Turn that stone into bread. Tempting Jesus. But because Jesus was patient and had full control of his soul. Listen at me. Satan couldn't get to his spirit. But he came and tried to access his soul. But Jesus, being patient. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12, we're going to go to that verses 1 through 3. We're going to go back to over and over and over and over again. Romans 12 chapter, watch this. It's something important that Jesus understood that we have the same right to understand. Romans 12 chapter, the first verse says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is a reasonable service, right? And it says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then it goes further and says, we not ought to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, right? For God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Here it is, verses 1 through 3 defines who we are. It gives us parameters for us to think a certain way. Now, before you think the parameters are limited, we renew our minds with what? The Word of God, right? So the Word of God speaks very highly of you. The Word of God speaks very highly of who you are. You are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You are the apple of his eye. You get what I'm saying? See, Jesus knew this, so Jesus didn't allow Satan to come and redefine who he was. Satan's constant effort is to try to redefine who you are. And he tries to redefine who you are coming through those five gates. He tries to redefine who you are by trying to mess with your intellect, messing with your emotions, messing with your memories. Are you seeing this? You cannot let Satan redefine who you are. God has already told you who you are. God has already told you what you're capable of doing. He already told you what he wants you to have. So Satan constantly is trying to redefine that. And he wants to use your voice to redefine it. You have to completely surrender your soul to the Father. Completely surrender it. How do I completely surrender my soul to the Father? In patience. Jesus, if you notice in that passage, Jesus shifted from speaking logos and he started speaking rhema. Because he started off saying, it is written, it is written, It is written. Then when Satan came the last time, Jesus switched on him and said, it is said. Nothing like that can happen unless you're patient and you completely surrender your soul to the Father. Other words, you don't know everything. Sometimes you might think it looks like the right thing to do, but you need to make sure God confirms that's what you need to do. Is that making sense? Because sometimes Satan wants us to move so fast that we'll make a misstep. Abraham made a misstep because he was rushing, trying to get that son. Instead of patiently waiting on God, and that son gave them heck. Till this day, still doing it. When we completely surrender our souls to God, there is no limitation for God moving through our bodies and our spirits. No limitations. When your mind is completely surrendered to God, you have Enoch stuff going on. Enoch was and he was no more. He was translated. You have Elijah stuff going on. Caught up in a whirlwind. That's how somebody's soul completely surrendered to God. Can you imagine? Just put yourself in Elisha's shoes. Put yourself in Elisha's shoes. And you're watching somebody get caught up in a whirlwind going to heaven. He didn't die. Can you imagine how Elijah's mind was just expanded at that moment? All right. Now, if you think about how Elijah's mind was expanded at that moment, think about how surrendered Elijah's mind was to God for to allow that to happen. When you completely surrender your mind and your souls, all your souls to God, you will live in a place of peace, prosperity, and power in your life. When you completely surrender your soul to God, that's patience. That's what patience does. When you do that, there is nothing that can stop you from living how God designed for you to live. Jesus' mind was completely surrendered to God. Because of that, he had the strength to have peace in the midst of mobs or to sleep in the midst of a storm. Because Jesus knew who he was, and he never let Satan redefine him. He never let anybody redefine him. He never had a problem with doubt or worry. Never failed in anything he did, was never shaken by any person's word, threats, or actions, never had a time where needs confronted him, and fear gripped his mind. No one could manipulate him, no one could take his joy, no one could frustrate him. He had a life that no one else could take from him. He had to lay it down. All because his soul was surrendered to the Father. Is that not amazing? Just imagine what would happen to us if we surrendered our mind to the Father. Even when Jesus was tempted for 40 days, he could not be physically harmed in any way by the devil. When you're willing to discipline your body and your mind, Satan has no entryway into your soul. When you're willing to take the time to guard your heart, guard your eyes, guard your ears, discipline your body, Satan has no entryway into your soul. Jesus did not train his mind any way different than he told us to train ours. He didn't use no Eastern meditation techniques. He didn't use any kind of mantra or tantra or mantra or any of that stuff. All he simply did was let God define him and didn't let anybody else redefine him. How did Jesus let God define him? Jesus read the Old Testament and saw himself in that numerous of times. How many times in the Old Testament it talks about Jesus? Isaiah, the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Rose of Sharon. So Jesus allowed the Word of God to define him, and he didn't let anybody else define him. Are you seeing this? This is why it's important that you read the Word of God on a daily basis so the Word of God can define you. So you can see who God calls you to be. When you do that, you're submitting yourself to the Father's will. Jeremiah 29:11. Almost finished. Here's God talking. He said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." God said, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you." That's amazing. God has been thinking about you. Amen. So now, when we decide to surrender our souls to God and let him fill our soul with his thoughts on us, we become limitless. There's nothing we can't accomplish, nothing we can't do, nothing we can't overcome. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we get so surrendered to God that God will allow us to go into situations just so other people can see us come out. Do you realize why Jesus talked about suffering, but he never talked about struggling? He talked about suffering, but he never talks about struggling. Some people don't know there's a difference. They think it's the same. They're not the same. Struggling and suffering is two different things. Suffering is going through something knowing how you're going to get out. Struggling is going through the same thing, not knowing how you're going to get out. There's a difference. So here it is. Job had to suffer some things so that we can see that no matter how far we go down, God never leaves us. Are you seeing this? Sometimes God will allow us to go through things so that we can. How you know what you got if it ain't never tested?
Yes, sir.
See, God is not going. This is why, listen to me, people. This is why I don't believe. It's a little side journey, and I'm gonna close here. I don't believe in no 23 and 24 year old apostles and prophets. I just don't believe in it.
Right.
You hadn't been tested.
Mm-hmm.
You have no experience.
Right.
You have no fruit.
That's right.
You hadn't been in enough pressure situations to know if God is real or not.
Amen.
So how in the world is God going to use that person to structure doctrine? Paul had every right to structure doctrine, because when he finally submitted his mind and his soul to God, God began to rearrange and begin to shape his mind. He began to shape his mind so much that Paul, watch this, Paul challenged Peter. when Peter came into his apostolic house acting as a Jew, Paul said, Peter, you know good and well that stuff don't, it might be good for you, you need to have it for the Jew, but you can't come into my apostolic house where we Gentile and start having my Gentile think they got to go through all these religious rituals to get Jesus. You might need to use that for the Jews, which I respect that because Jews ain't just going to stop doing their religious rituals, but you can't come into my apostolic house. That's a mind that's completely surrendered to God. And confidence. See, your confidence is not in who you are. Your confidence is in who he is in you. So if you don't ever surrender your mind to him and allow him to tell you who you are, then you always going to have confidence issues when you face situations. You always going to have doubt come in when you're not totally, your soul is not totally surrendered to him. Because if your soul is not surrendered to him, now you got to come up with the answer. And you know you didn't have the answer going in. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So we have to allow God to define us. That means total surrendering. God, okay, you called me to preach. Okay, I'm not going to look at nobody else's ministry trying to figure out how to do this. I'm going to surrender to you and let you lead me where you want me to go. I want you, God, I want you, I want to surrender myself to you and I'm allowing you to take me where you need me to go. And where you place me is obviously where you want me to learn. Is this making sense? See, because what happens is if we don't totally surrender ourselves and surrender our souls to God, Satan comes in and helps us define ourselves. Some people think they define them on their own self. Nope, you don't. If you don't totally surrender to God, Satan will help you define yourself. That's good. He will help you figure you out. See, people tell me, oh, I got to go find myself. No, you really don't. You ain't going to go find yourself. All you got to do is surrender your soul to God and he'll tell you who you are. Okay. You ain't got to go looking. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So over the next 2-3 months, 4 months, we're going to break this mind down. Now, in order for this mind to be broken down, you're going to have to verbally tell God. See, our verbalization of something makes it, when you verbally say something, when you open your mouth and say something, what you're doing, you put your spirit on alert, you put your mind on alert, and you put your body on alert. This is what's about to happen. See, some people don't like to talk to themselves. You need to talk to yourself.
Right.
You need to tell God, God, look, body, look, mind, look, we're surrendering to God. Mm-hmm. No, we're not going to do this. We're going to sit here and wait till God tells us what we need to do. We're not going to move out on our feelings. We're not going to move out because we think we know the right answer. We're not going to move out based on past experiences. See, your memory, your intellect, your emotions. See what I'm saying? So we have to surrender all that to God so that he can tell us who we are, so that we can let him define us. Let me tell you something. When God defines who you are, there's nobody else can come in and do a better job.
Amen.
They got some people think they can, but once God defines you, there's nobody that can come in. And here's the thing. Once God defines you, there's a whole future ahead of you that can't nobody do nothing about.
Amen.
When you let God define you, because why? He's not a man that he should lie.
That's right.
If he what? If he said it, he'll make it good. So if you allow him to define you, then there, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'll see y'all next week.